Israel launches a strike deep inside Iran. Retaliation is underway. Global powers are aligning, and ancient prophecy is coming alive. Don't miss what could be the beginning of the end. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. And David, we got a special of a special today, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is an amazing time we're living in. Just when you thought it couldn't ramp up anymore.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, this is obviously going to be a show about what's going on over there in the Middle East, but we've got some information for you that you're not going to hear on any other network, I promise you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear it. You know, it's good, clean, verified, factual information that the propaganda media does not want you to know, and we're going to get to that today. Go ahead, David, pry us into the show, and we'll get going.
All right. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem, and we know that you are protecting Israel because they have a storm to go through coming up. We ask, Father, for Maranatha. Quickly come, Lord Jesus, to take your bride home so we can get this over with and enter into your kingdom. May our words be a light so those who would hear this and try and make sense out of the world out there would come to know that you're the only sense that there is. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, one thing that's run through my mind over the past few days watching this stuff with Israel and Iran, I think of all the people that have lost their life. And I'm talking about Jew and Muslim alike. You know, they still have to stand before the same God. They still have to come up with the same answer. And unfortunately, for I'm sure the vast majority that have gone on, they didn't go where they thought they were going to go. And that's a horrible, horrible eternal fact to live with when you have the opportunity to avoid it.
And that's an interesting point because, I mean, you know, we know we have a list of all the top leaders in Iran that were there. And, you know, they, in their head somewhere, they thought they were doing the right thing. Right. But then somewhere in their hearts, they didn't want to do the right thing. And that's what God says, you know, that we're desperately wicked. So it's kind of weird. I mean, but you're glad that they're gone because they were literally trying to destroy the world with nuclear weapons. However, there they are, and now are most likely in Hades in the burning part waiting for judgment and seeing the truth of their entire lives just constantly flashing before them, how they had opportunities to receive Jesus and then refuse it and actually kill people who did. And begging for the chance to come back and tell all their brothers that, you know, hey, Jesus is the way, and they can't do it. They're stuck where they're at. And that's horrible. And I really don't wish that on anyone. I wish they would actually repent and stop trying to kill the world. So as much as we like to make fun of them and say, yeah, there's no, they aren't virgins. But yeah, they will be violating you. You can laugh at that, but the truth of the matter is that's a person.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful to think to anybody. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Let's look here real quick at what we intend to talk about today. Of course, Israel, the Israeli strikes on Iran. What really happened there? The Iranian response and the rise of the crescent, global and U.S. reaction to it all. And of course, this is sending shockwaves everywhere. And then what comes next? A political storm and a prophetic countdown, and we're going to get into that. And again, I promise you, you're going to hear some stuff here that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So hang in there with us. But let's begin here real quick with the Israeli strikes themselves and what happened. The operation targeted the head of the snake. It was a pre-dawn precision strike. Israeli fighter jets penetrating deep into Iranian airspace. Reportedly, and I can tell you now factually with U.S. satellite coordination and support from regional allies, the primary targets included the nuclear enrichment facilities and missile production complexes. The underground bunkers housing the IRGC, or the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps leadership, was reportedly hit. And actually, I've got some updated information on that for you, along with the drone manufacturing site supplying Hezbollah and the Houthis. Also, how Israel did it. They used advanced F-351 Adir stealth fighters, electronic warfare, and suspected regional airbase support. This isn't suspected, this is confirmed, and we'll get into it too. Cyber attacks preceded the strikes, crippling Iranian radar systems and the communications there. And let's see here, moving on to this one. All right. The Iranian authorities claim that there are dozens dead, including high-ranking IRGC officials. Significant damage to key infrastructure reported, delayed Iran's nuclear progress by months or even years. The prophetic insight here, Jeremiah 49:35 through 39, I will break the bow of Elam. Elam is an ancient region within modern-day Iran. And then many theologians see this as a future judgment upon Iran's military might, fulfilled in part through such strikes. And, you know, could this be the beginning of Iran's prophetic destabilization? Well, you're the prophecy expert there, Mr. David. So what do you think? What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff we didn't even have on our prophecy bingo cards.
Right.
As we know, like the little fit that Elon and Trump were having. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
But in inside of all of this, I think it all is, it fits with the biblical narrative, because you read all through the biblical narrative of the, I wouldn't call it, in a good way, it's deception. It's this deception in a good way. Whereas, you know, there is troops that were led out in one direction when, you know, Israel went the other, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the, I think it was the Medes. But anyway, the enemies of Israel were out in the field, and then, you know, God sent a voice, and they all thought each other were the enemy, and they all killed each other. And that's when Israel walked in. Remember, that event happened too. But that was all based on deception.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so it's a good war tactic, and I think that's the best war tactic, because you don't want to, you know, the progress. You don't want to show your hand to the enemy.
Right.
My whole thing is into that poker face. You don't want, right, to show them your cards.
Right.
And that's where we're at here. So, you know, I think part of it is, I think that little spat they had was most likely, you know, a ruse.
Staged.
And but even bigger is the ruse is that, you know, Trump was not in agreement with Israel attacking Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in there, because now they're confused and they don't know what to do. Are they on our side and this side? And that kind of stopped the sleeper cells over here from waking up and different things. But he was clearly given, you know, he gave Iran the 60 days. So it's just 60 days, and on day 61, this all happened.
All bets are off. Well, and I got
Elon
something on that.
Is Iran, though. It's.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Symbol of Iran's military power, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alam. And that's what they were called. We went over that in the Bible study, Japheth's kids and all them. So they all came down, and Iran was in one of them. So.
Yeah, you can go back and go to lastchristian.net. You can find all the shows there. But real quick here, I want to run this one out. This is courtesy of Fox News, and gives you an idea of what's going on over there right now. If I can make it play. There we go.
What is the thinking on that in terms of the Ayatollah today? Who is he surrounded with? The number twos. But I guess if you're feeling like you're number two right now, you're still not very safe.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think Israel's goal was to decapitate Iran's military. They also killed the national security official who was leading the nuclear negotiations with the United States, Ali Shamkhani. The goal here for Israel was to destroy Iran's means of retaliation, but also to create the opportunity for others to be potentially promoted into their place. I think, as President Trump noted, maybe they will be less intransigent, less defiant, less provocative. But at this point, Israel tried everything they could, so did the United States, to bring a diplomatic resolution and prevent the crisis that is unfolding in the Middle East.
Okay. I noticed that Democrats are already coming at them saying, well, why didn't they do diplomacy? Well, what do you think they've been doing? You know,
for the last 40 years?
This is, you know, it's actually insane. It's getting to the point now where it's ridiculous that, you know, can't you just for one time, just pick one, and this would have been a good one, to say he's right. Okay, he's right. Mm-hmm. Then if you start telling the truth, and I'm talking to the Democrats out there specifically, if you start to tell the truth, people will start having credibility and believe in you again. Right now, there's no trust in you. All that you do is lie 24/7, and we're done with it. We're tired of it. We've been
even
censored.
All the Democrats are like, why are these people just constantly lying? It's like they can't see it.
Right.
But and all those leaders being destroyed. That's what was alluded to. You know, he will break the bow of Elam.
Mm-hmm.
That's the leadership, and that's the bow. They're the ones that were orchestrating all of this war stuff against Israel. And then the prophecy also talks about the Elamites, basically scattered. Okay, and that's what's happening now. We see they're packing their bags and they're like heading to Russia, and they're like they're all trying to get out now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to scatter.
Yeah, well, you know, I was watching a little bit of it when it was unfolding. Actually, I was right in the middle of doing your study, David, on the other night. We were on live stream, and all of a sudden this breaks through, you know. But anyway, I was watching some of it that night, and it was just amazing to me how quickly that they lost the coverage in Iran. Nobody wanted to point a camera at anything anymore because... you know, Iran was getting blasted, and then it showed Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, and yeah, there's something, you know, you see a little fragment fall down here and there, and I think they said two missiles got through so far, this will be a little bit dated, you know, I'm sure there'll be a few more by the time some of you guys hear this, but...
In a half hour, it'll be different.
Yeah, but the point is that when Israel goes in, they do a lot of damage. When Iran just shoots wildly at anything, they don't care where it hits, they fail, you know, so that ought to... I'll tell you something. Let's look here.
It's been a while, too, so.
Yeah. Let's look at this one real quick. David, this is the Iranian response. So, you know, Iran launched waves of ballistic and cruise missiles at Israeli military and civilian targets in Haifa and Tel Aviv and in Beersheba. Hezbollah's opened a second front in the north, while Iranian-backed militias in Iraq and Syria are attempting border incursions. The Houthi rebels in Yemen are firing drones toward Eilat and the Negev. The propaganda
Negev.
War. I'm sorry, pronounce that for again.
Negev.
Negev, okay. The propaganda war. Iran has declared a holy war against the Zionist aggression using Quranic rhetoric and invoking Mahdiist language. You'll like that one, David. Then you got the supreme leader has vowed the complete liberation of Palestine, hinting at a coming regional war there. And let's just keep moving here real quick. Go on to the regional domino effect. The pro-Iranian mobs have stormed U.S. bases in Iraq. Multiple American servicemen reported injured. You got Iranian naval forces patrolling near the Strait of Hormuz, threatening oil flow to the west. And the prophetic insight on this one is that Ezekiel 38:5, that Persia, which is modern Iran, is listed as one of the chief allies in the Gog and Magog war against Israel. And that's also in Daniel 8:17 through 25, where it describes a latter-day conflict involving a fierce king from the east, possibly linking to Iran's current regime. What do you think about that, David?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing our study of the sons of Japheth, and they're coming down. Now, the Iranian people, we got to continually recognize this. The people are really good people.
Yes.
And most of them are actually receiving the Lord now as well, from dreams and visions. Mm-hmm. This is, specific... the Prince of Persia, if you would. He knows his time is short, so what he's doing is he's kind of hijacking a handful of people Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are doing all of this mess here. Okay? So you get that. And the devil's a liar and a deceiver. So it comes out in all this. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is just rhetoric. They're just talking, we're going to take over and this and that. Meanwhile, they got no airplanes. They got no fuel. They got no nuclear weapon. Israel has taken over. They've infiltrated everything and attacked them from inside.
From inside,
so that's the fifth column, if you would. Anyone who knows that metaphor. Yeah. But even so, they come out with this fake news. I'm sure you've seen the pictures. And, Iran's putting out, we've downed an Israeli fighter. Mm-hmm. And they got this picture of an Israeli fighter. However, they say they downed it, except it's just sitting on the lawn nicely. There's no impact mm-hmm. zone. There's no right. sliding. Mm-hmm. The engine's still running because it's nice and glow. And the wing is broken off, but sitting next to it. I'm like, if you downed an Israeli fighter, you're going to have a crash thing. The engine's not going to be working anymore. And the wing's going to be somewhere. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Clearly, it's AI. And then I saw another one. They said, we captured an Israeli pilot. Mm-hmm. It turns out the pilot was from Chile. Mm. And all of this is because of the Prince of Persia going on there, and it's just full of deceit, and they know they've lost. Mm-hmm. And the time is short. Maranatha.
Yeah, amen. I got a little picture right here. This is Israel. Israel hits hard. I like the title of that thing. But the Israeli army had announced 200 Israeli jets carried out the precision strikes over 100 targets in Iran. For those of you that are watching this on screen, you can see the names there of the commanders that were taken out. And I'm going to keep teasing it because I got it. It's the only copy that you're going to find. A little hidden fact there, over in Iran. David, we still got a little bit of time here, and I don't know that I'll tell you what, we'll just move on with the next one, because the mm-hmm. I think these new facts are going to be kind of fun to get into later on. So let's move up here, and we'll go with this real quick. Global and U.S. reaction. We got shockwaves across the earth, U.S. government response. Now, this is where it gets kind of fun, okay? Publicly, the U.S. urged restraint while deploying two carrier strike groups to the Eastern Mediterranean and Persian Gulf. President Trump issued a statement, "We support Israel's right to self-defense, or to defend itself, I should say." Reports confirm U.S. cyber units aided Israel's strike by disabling Iranian air defense grids. That is true. The European reaction tier, the EU nations are split. Of course, France and Germany mm-hmm. condemned Israel's disproportionate response, while Eastern European nations praised Israeli assertiveness. And the UK began evacuating diplomatic staff from Tehran and advised all citizens to leave Iran. And let's see if I got another one right here real quick. Go with this one. Okay, global and U.S. again reaction. Russia and China. Russia's condemned mm-hmm. Israeli aggression and proposed a UN emergency session, standing firmly with Iran. Russian naval movements noted in the Mediterranean, raising alarms in NATO. And China has warned against destabilizing unilateral actions, but refrained from direct condemnation. That has changed, by the way, hinting at a more cautious approach. And again, that one in particular has changed, and we'll get into that. Then you've got the Arabian world there, Saudi Arabia and the UAE. They quietly support the Israeli action, both fearful of Iran's regional expansion. And then Jordan denied airspace usage, but issued a lukewarm statement. Egypt mm-hmm. remains silent. And the prophetic insight there is Zechariah 12, 3, Jerusalem shall be a burdensome stone for all people. So you're looking at global contention over Israel's actions, fulfilling the warning. The world cannot ignore Jerusalem or her wars. That's the reason that we are asked to pray for Jerusalem, right, David?
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what we're commanded to do. That's so. It's just amazing. Obviously, we're gonna know what the world's gonna say because it's been written for thousands of years.
Right.
And they're gonna come against it. Matter of fact, there'll be a time when the entire world comes against Israel. That will be after the Christians are taken out, because it is indeed the Christian. The real Christian people, not the ones that are anti-Semites,
right.
That are standing with Israel, and that's where you get some of these nations. There's still a remnant there that thinks logically. But we're going to see this over and over and over. He's going to take them all out, and then because there has to be someone who comes along to say, hey, I can cause peace, and they're going to love him because he caused peace in the midst of all this world destruction.
Yeah.
So, here's interesting breaking news. Ali Samkhani, the most senior and closest advisor to the supreme leader of Iran, succumbed to his wounds and died.
Yeah. And I've got to add
that to your list.
Yeah. I've got a little piece of news here. I'm saving it for the second half of the show. I'm keeping you here. Yes, I'm keeping you here.
Reminds me, remember Monty Python and the Holy Grail and the knights? And he had the black knight and the white knight.
Right.
And then he cuts off his arm. And he's like, that's all right, I'll still fight you. He cuts off his other arm. He says, oh, it's just a flesh wound. he starts to headbutt him. And he cuts off his legs. He says, I'll bite your kneecaps. And then he laughs at him and walks away. That just reminds me of Iran. That's what it is. Israel is cutting pieces off all over the place.
They're
still out screaming how they're going to win.
They are getting hammered really bad. Let's look at this one real quick, David. Just a thing that was put online here. Israel will break the bow of Elam. If you've got a Bible, go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, and it kind of talks about this. There's also, could Israel be the instrument in all of this? You may want to look at that. That's Ezekiel 25, verse 14, Isaiah 41, verse 15, and Zechariah 12, verse 6. So you got the modern applications there, Elam being Iran, and then the timing possibilities for the pre-Gog, Magog war, which that
I like Zechariah 12:6. Read that one out there.
I'm sorry, one more time on that.
Zechariah 12:1, read that.
Yeah. Let me see. Do I have it on screen here?
Yeah, you just had it up. Put that back.
Okay, hold on. Let me put it back up there for you.
That one, you're going to love this one.
Okay, go ahead.
On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a blazing pot in the midst of wood, and they shall devour to the right and to the left. Well, that is certainly happening today.
Absolutely, yeah. I hadn't focused in on that scripture until then. But yeah, you're right, 100%. Israel has given Iran every chance. For those of you that are still thinking that some way Israel bad, Iran bad, well, yeah, Israel bad. They've got some, they have some problems, and of course we know what the number one problem is that for the vast majority they do not recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We know that's the worst one, but that's prevalent even here in the United States. But I hope you understand that what Israel does compared to what is done to them, there's no comparison. They're hit 365.
Literally just defending themselves.
Yeah, they're hit 365 days a year without exception with a missile from somewhere, or a drone from somewhere, or a car running into somebody, or somebody with a machete or a knife on the street. You know, they're hit every day of the year. Okay, and it's civilians that get hurt. When they go after their enemy, they go after very strategic targets. They target military personnel, military bases, and the weapons of destruction. That's it. And they're the ones that get sanctioned. In other words, reverse from common sense is called idiotic, just complete being an idiot. And I don't even know how to describe it, David, but it's below stupidity. Go ahead.
Well, that's what he said. He said, you know, people won't even listen to reason, and mm-hmm. thinking themselves wise, they became fools.
Yeah.
Yeah, like another one. Like people, and people believe this crap. Yeah, there's an AI video of all these Israeli airplanes in, it looks like a garage somewhere. Like it's mm-hmm. not even something as Israel would have. And they got all these Israeli airplanes, and they're playing this Islamic praise music or whatever they mm-hmm. do.
Yeah,
and any 4-year-old could see this is a fake video, but this is the kind of stuff they're putting out because people are deluded into just believing what they want to believe, and they do not want to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so they'll just eat anything that the enemy serves up. So do yourself a favor, stop eating that crap, and realize that Jesus is the King of Kings, and He's mm-hmm. coming back to rule and reign. And this is all been foretold in His word, His contract, for thousands of years.
Yeah. I don't get it that some religions, and they know who they are without me even saying it, some religions think that it's okay to kill. And it's okay to kill somebody you don't even know for a reason that you don't even know. You don't even know if they're they may have the exact same opinion of everything you do. But mm-hmm. they're innocent. They don't act on it. You did, and you killed them, and you think you're going to heaven? Really? You really think you're going to... Think about this for a minute. Think it through like a normal person. You know, mm-hmm. killing bad. I understand some people don't understand how Jesus can just give you salvation. Well, if He made it any harder, you sure wouldn't get it, would you? I mean, mm-hmm. my goodness gracious, it's free and you won't take it?
There's no other way. It can only be a gift can't earn it.
It's crazy. You know, I don't understand, but I would invite you, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, please pick up a Bible and read it. You know, don't go by what Pastor Sam said. I don't care what he said. I don't care what your next door neighbor said. I don't care what your kid said or your mom or your dad or your uncle or your worst enemy. I don't care. Pick up a Bible and read it for yourself. And if you'll read it with an open mind, you will be baptized at some point. I guarantee you that, if you're serious about finding God. David, take us out of the first half of the show, and then we'll get ready for the second.
Yeah, the Bible even clearly says, come, let us reason together. So you can't earn it. Like Islam, they want you, if you go and blow up innocent people, then you're doing it for Allah, and you get virgins and blah, 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 blah. And that's the only way to lock in your space. Otherwise, He's precocious, and He's like, it depends on when you die. He might take you, He might not. But Jesus, He said, I will pay for your sins. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be that free gift. So I would encourage you to accept His free gift before it's too late. And we'll see you guys in the second half.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmers market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there, all the way from New York. David, we sailed through the first part of the show there and actually got into a little bit of the second, so I'm just going to go ahead and move this over because we got a lot to talk about in this half of the show. So what comes next? You know, a political storm and a prophetic countdown. So you got the possibility here of a full-scale war. The Israeli Defense Forces are on full alert. They've activated their reservists, the Iron Dome, of course, the David Sling, all intercepting nearly daily barrages we talked about. Iran has vowed more responses, and Israel has reportedly, they're preparing for a multi-front conflict involving Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. So you're looking at their Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis. The Israeli Prime Minister has vowed to eliminate the nuclear Iran threat once and for all. And then you've got the Third Temple debate is intensifying. Again, the Temple Mount tensions skyrocketing after the Israeli strike. Radical Islamic clerics are calling for a retaking of the Al-Aqsa. Jewish national groups pushing for greater sovereignty over the Temple Mount, reviving the plans for the Third Temple. There you can look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, where the Antichrist sits in the temple of God. Without a third temple, the prophecy remains unfulfilled, so current tensions may accelerate the movement toward that. And let's look at this one here. Hold on. Thought I got it, but I obviously didn't. There we go. So the bigger picture here is, are we in the birth pains? Matthew 24, 6 through 8. Wars and rumors of wars, all these things are the beginning of birth pains. The stage is being set for the tribulation period. The rapture could occur at any moment before the full outbreak of this prophesized global war. So in summary, what began as a surgical strike may become the spark that ignites Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, and the global division over Jerusalem that's described in Zechariah. Politicians and pundits may offer analysis, but the Bible gives us the final word. So for those watching through the lens of Scripture, this is not just a war. It is prophecy unfolding before our eyes. As events accelerate, one question matters above all, and that's, are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? And there you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And David, we've talked about this many times. So what do you think about all that? And do you see this kind of unfolding in that direction right now?
Yeah, I want to touch on a couple things, you know, being the Bible nerd that I am. So let's start with the thief in the night.
Okay.
Now, in today's vernacular, what vision does that give you in our current American mindset as a thief in the night?
I know where you're going, so I'm going to answer it the way that I would have answered it a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that is that I would think of one or more people sneaking up very carefully taking the window, you know, getting jacking around with the window or the door lock, whichever it would be, gain access to the home, sneak in, try not to make any noise, but go through everything you can possibly go through to steal as much as you can and escape, you know, with everything that
unnoticed,
you got.
Right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that in Bible times, as we call them, they it was a different mindset.
Right.
Okay, and they wouldn't just come in and try and sneak in the house. A thief would come, and they would try to give the impression that there was a whole bunch of them. Because remember, they didn't have lights, they didn't have security systems, they didn't have to sneak around, no one could, you know, call on their cell phones. Mm-hmm. So they didn't care if they snuck in or not, it didn't matter. What they wanted to do is, for their own safety and benefit, is make it appear as if there's way more people and they're way more violent than you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so they would come and they'd scream and they'd have people in all different locations banging things and yelling and making really loud noises in order to make you and you get your family up and run away.
Yeah.
This way they could just walk in and take all your stuff without any kind of confrontation.
Yeah.
And that's what it talks about when Jesus says, like a thief in the night, he'll come. It's not, he's not going to, it's not this quiet sneak in stuff that the church has taught us. You just, oh, it's going to sneak in. No, it's going to be loud and obnoxious and it's going to be a big warning and it's going to scare the crap out of people and they're going to run away. Okay, that's how he's coming, as a thief in the night. And these are the things we're starting to see them now. Here's the noise. Here's the chaos and the mayhem that's coming before the return of the Lord. Amen. That's how he's going to come in. You know, and they're gonna cry peace and safety, because that's what they're wanting. That's what we see now. So all too often we said, "Oh, there'll be peace and safety in the land." Well, that's not really what it says. What it says is they'll be essentially crying out for peace and safety. Oh, please, somebody bring peace and safety. Somebody bring peace and safety. And so in the midst of that chaos of them crying out for peace and safety and a lot of noise going on, that's when he returns. And then the Antichrist can come in and say, oh, good, we got rid of all those agitators. Now we can have this peace and safety, you know, in the world. And that's when the destruction starts. Yeah. And I want to mess with your head a little bit. Do we have time?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Ouroboros?
I am not.
Oh, fun. You know that snake that's like a big circle and it's like eating its tail?
Yes.
Yeah. That's called the Ouroboros.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And now it's a copycat of, you know, prophecy is pattern. You know, pattern and the repeat. That's what it is. It's types and patterns that happen again, but they're types and patterns. Now, the satanic, you know, copy of that is that we're just going on the same timeline around and around and like a train set, you know, and here we are and we're winding up in the same place. And they do that for a reason. I even had, you know, Carrie Madej and I had a show where we talked about stuff like this. They're trying to create this time loop. And they've been telling us for years, because if they're on a time loop, they could keep going back to the same station over and over and over and never actually get to the end and face the judgment that they know is coming.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's why they want to bring all this nuclear stuff, because they believe, you know, with CERN, you can look up CERN, C-E-R-N, they're trying to find the God particle and they're trying to do these things. And even CERN itself is a big Hadron Collider. It's a huge circle. It's all of it is trying to create a time loop. And, you know, they talk about that today. Hey, there's a time loop. No, no, no. There isn't. The end is coming. But if they create the time loop, they can live in it and they never have to face judgment. It's all the pagan stuff from thousands of years ago. It's all what they're trying to do today. And they call it the, you know, the cycle of life. You even see it in The Lion King. Oh, the cycle of life. It's all deception. No, the end is coming and he will come as a thief in the night. It's going to be loud. It's going to be noisy. And then the king is returning. And then he's going to rule here for 1,000 years and then a whole new heaven and a whole new earth. Nothing, no circle of time, folks.
Yeah, well.
Did I mess with your head?
Man, yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't know. Just I don't get doing all this work. That's all I was thinking of when you were listening to all that stuff. You do all that work hoping that you never die instead of doing
then
no
actually
more,
never dying.
you know, then simply saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died for me. I believe he spent 3 days in the tomb. I believe that he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. I know he's coming back for his church, and then God's going to unleash all his wrath on the earth, and I don't want any part of that. I want to serve him for as long as I'm here. So please, Father, forgive me and fill me with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, if you'll do that, you don't have to worry about all this other crap they're throwing at you, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that what it says, David?
Yep. So, and then that whole idea ties in with reincarnation. Oh, it's a circle. Mm-hmm. Ties in with the phoenix. All this pagan nonsense. No, the end is coming.
Right. Absolutely.
So receive the Lord and do it now.
Yeah, because
it's coming quick.
it's coming really quick. Okay, I told you guys we're going to get into some little known facts here, and we are. There's certain aspects of this stuff that haven't been front page news. But are critical to your understanding of the deeper layers of this conflict. So let's look first at Mossad's pre-positioning inside Iran. They didn't just rely on airstrikes. They'd been deploying assets inside Iran for months. Drones, precision-guided missiles, and commandos positioned near air defense and nuclear facilities. The cover-up build-up, or covert build-up, enabled pinpoint strikes during Operation Rising Line. The lure and kill strategy. This one is a big one. I want y'all to listen to this one really clear. Israel reportedly lured in IRGC commandos, and it names them here. Salami, I guess, is one of them, Bagheri, and has a leak or something, to a fake meeting. Okay, it's kind of like those pagers that they had go off. This meeting was fake. So they created a kill box where multiple senior figures were gathered, making it possible to eliminate them in one go. And I can tell you this, there was one guy that was supposed to be there and may have even been there. I don't remember the story verbatim, but he was either there and just some way escaped, or he didn't show up for this meeting. Well, Israel has their Mossad agents there in Iran. They just followed him for 24 hours. Okay? They figured out where he was going to be, and they took him out too. You know, so they're moving this, the supreme leader, they're moving him from safe house to safe house, and Israel's on his butt. And, you know, I would highly recommend that they do what President Trump asked and come to the table and say, okay, we're done with enrichment, we promise, you know, and you know, because if they don't start begging their way out of this one, David, there's not going to be an Iran.
Well, they started begging today. I thought even this morning they were like, oh, Israel, hey, can we please stop the war and just go back to negotiations? Which is the same MO every single time for the last 4,000 years. Every time they said, oh, let's just go to negotiations, they go to the same thing. We're going to destroy Israel, wipe them off the face of the planet, and they start throwing rocks.
Well, so. Just to look at this group here. Okay, those are the senior commanders. And you can see the top three are gone. They're dead. Okay. One below that, who's I guess over all those little guys at the bottom, well, he's gone. And then five out of seven of the other ones are gone, and Israel's still on the hunt. So, you know, you remember old Sweats from Hezbollah days? You know, he's still out there, but I don't think he's in Iran anymore. I think he's trying to find another place to be, because you know they're still after him for being with Hezbollah, you know. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think another one just went.
What'd you got?
One after another. no, this is the same guy that official obituary of Ali Shamkhani.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Just get ready, folks. There's going to be dozens of them. Netanyahu, he just came out and said, we're just getting started.
Yeah. I heard somebody say that this was moving, or they were getting hit 10 times worse than they thought it was going to be. And you know, they've got basically no communication now. They've got no air defense system. They're just shooting in the air, hoping to hit something. I mean, if you ever watch any of the video that actually makes it out of Iran, you see them, they're just shooting indiscriminately in the air, hoping to hit something, because they got no eyes up there, you know. Israel could go in and devastate that country if they wanted to right now.
Yeah, they could literally wipe it off the planet, but what they're doing is just destroying the military stuff.
Yeah, they went after military targets, and I understand, David, I think you said something right before we went on the show that they were going on the fuel.
They blew up like a fuel station. Not like a gas station, but there's storage.
Big storage facility.
The whole thing got blown up.
That's striking them where it hurts, because that's their money, you know, and they definitely need that. Okay, let's look at this one. Some more facts here. There's a limit of Israeli munitions while Israel has struck this Natanz and Esfahan, I guess, facilities. They're heavily fortified underground sites like Fordo remain largely intact. These deep bunkers would require exceptionally a powerful ordnance like the U.S.-made GBU-57 bunker buster, which Israel currently lacks, so they think. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't already have possession of a few of those. Then you've got Unit 8200 and CyberTech are in this thing. Israeli elite SIGINT arm or Unit 8200 played a key silent role. Their global signals of intelligence, including undersea cable tapping and satellite surveillance, helped pinpoint strike targets. This isn't the first time they've shaped major operations. And you got Iran's underground missile cities. Now, Iran has built a network of missile cities, underground bases embedded across its provinces, some 500 meters deep, hosting mobile launchers and multi-rocket systems ready to erupt unexpectedly. And these subterranean complexes complicate Israel's ability to eliminate Iran's long-range strike capability. And I'll let you comment on that, David, but the only point I want to make here is they're saying that they can't hit these things that are underground. Well, these things that are underground, they've got an entrance and they've got an exit. So what if we completely destroy the entrances and the exits and just let them die inside? What's wrong with that strategy?
Yeah, that's all you got to do. You fill up both ends with poison gas. I mean, do you think they don't know that? Remember the tunnels in the Bible? They did the same thing.
It's
crazy. You missed that part.
I'm not so worried about Israel not being able to hit them.
If they had that Mossad agent in there for years and he called in this meeting of these three top leaders and had them in one apartment, and then they hit from 1,000 miles away, they hit that apartment and that's
just that
it.
One. Just that one.
Yeah, just that one apartment. Everyone else was okay from that far away. I think they could find the tunnels.
I do too. I just don't understand. Go ahead, David.
Okay, I 100% one of the Mossad agents was in on building the tunnels, so they know where they're at. Okay, they invented the internet. Al Gore didn't do it.
Right.
The news did. Okay, they invented the technology. Uh-huh. They know how the cell phones work, so they got the back door. They know how all the cables work. They got the back door. They're not stupid people.
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. They got this whole thing suitcase. Netanyahu would not be there bombing the crap out of them if he wasn't assured that he was going to wipe them off the face of the planet and save all the civilians.
He's got to know he's going to win. And, the sad thing, David, is they could know that they're going to win. I'm looking, maybe there's somebody inside that administration. I don't know what they call them over there. But maybe there's one Christian in there somewhere that's saying, hey, Mr. Prime Minister, here in the book, it says this is going to happen next. So why don't we kind of look for that? And, you know, after he's right like three or four times, then you start calling him in and saying, okay, what does your book say now?
Yeah, I'm sure he's in there. I'm sure he's hearing the word of the Lord as well. But he has to balance that out rightly, because the Jews as a nation have not received Christ yet.
Correct.
And if he were to all of a sudden become born again, then they would reject him.
Yeah, he'd be out in a heartbeat. Yeah. But I'm not even saying become a Christian. I'm just saying listen to the guy.
I'm sure he does.
You know?
Yeah, and I've heard him talk like that before, where he's like, yeah, well, we'll listen to the Christians because they got this part right. So.
Cool. I had not seen that. I'd love to see that. Because
then there's Christians who are just, you know, lost and out of their minds. On that topic, sadly, I think Tucker and Candace have gone off the deep end.
They have fallen off the tree, and had they hit every limb on the way down to Stupid City, because they're anti-Semites now. I think they're un-American in a lot of ways, but what did you hear that kicked it off for you?
Well, I mean, Candace just came out and said, oh, you know, America doesn't make the decisions. We're a colony of Israel, and BB's making it. So you could tell that with the disdain in her voice, and it's sad.
It because, is.
You know, it said some good stuff, but that's how the devil works. He comes in with 99% good stuff and then throws the poison in it.
Yeah. Well, I hate to see it. I used to love to watch Tucker Carlson when he was on Fox, you know, and I thought he was fired unjustly and everything else. But, you know, now I guess Fox proves to be correct for getting rid of him because.
Well, it's like the Nephilim, the three tribes were against each other. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at this. So what comes next? The bigger picture. And are we in the birth pangs? That's Matthew 24:6-8. Wars and rumors of wars. Stages set for the tribulation. The rapture could occur at any moment before the full outbreak of the prophesied global war. So what began as a surgical strike may become the spark that ignites Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, and the global division over Jerusalem that's described in Zechariah. Politicians and pundits may offer analysis, but the Bible gives us the final word. So for those watching through the lens of Scripture, this is not just a war. It is prophecy unfolding before our eyes. As events accelerate, one question matters above all, and that's, are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? That's 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I want to read all that again, David, just for emphasis, because it's important that people take advantage of this one chance, because that's all you got before everything comes to an end. So, right.
Just to be clear, you know, Trump is not the savior.
No.
ICE is not the savior.
Nope.
Okay. Now, just like any human being, they could do good things, they can do bad things, and we hope and pray that they do good things, and we hope and pray that they receive the Lord. But they're not going to save you. Okay? The world's just going to get crazier and crazier. Okay, now Jesus is coming back, and he will fix all of this. That's what you need to focus on.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's see. Got one more for you. This is something that you're not going to see, I guarantee you, anywhere else but here. You have two Israeli officials have now claimed to Axios, who still hasn't released their story, that Trump and his aides were only pretending to oppose an Israeli attack in public. And didn't express opposition in private. We had a clear U.S. green light. Now, that's what the Israeli people are telling them here. The goal, they say, was to convince Iran that no attack was imminent and make sure Iranians on the Israeli target list wouldn't move to new locations. Netanyahu's aides even briefed Israeli reporters that Trump had tried to pull the brakes on a Israeli strike in a call on Monday, when in reality, the call dealt with coordination ahead of the attack. So, anyway, Israel knew, or Israel told the United States in advance exactly what they were going to do, and they got the green light on it. And Trump went about his day. He sent J.D. Vance about his day. He sent Marco Rubio somewhere. It was Pete Hegseth, I think, that went to a baseball game. They all played it knowing what was about to happen. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Remember just a day ahead of time?
Yeah.
We called back the ambassadors?
Yeah, right.
I knew, I'd like, as soon as... called home from Iran.
Yeah,
what day was that? I think it was Wednesday.
It was on Thursday. Wednesday, you're right. On Wednesday, he called them back. It might have even been Tuesday or Wednesday. And told, citizens not to go into those areas. All non-essential people were told to move out. And we weren't
the only
country.
But that's what happens before war, and that's also is going to happen with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that as soon as they did that. I was even talking to some friends, and it's like, they called the ambassadors home. You know what that means, right?
Mm-hmm. War is on the way.
All right, keep your eyes open. It's about to go down. Iran's not going to be in good shape over the next couple of days,
right?
Because that's what you don't do. Yeah. But I want to encourage people as well. I mean, the judgment is about to be unleashed upon the earth.
Amen.
Okay. And what happens before the king unleashes judgment on a land?
Yeah, they call her back to their ambassador.
They call the ambassadors home. So if you're an ambassador for Christ, there is your pre-trib doctrine right there.
Mm-hmm.
He must call you home because he's not going to pour out his wrath on his ambassadors. Now, is he?
Makes it clear in scripture as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's clear. We are ambassadors for Christ, and everything we do is for him. And he specifically has to deal with Israel and their unrepentant nature and judge the earth.
Amen.
So that's what's going to happen. I would encourage you to join the team of the king, if you would. Join the kingdom.
Amen.
Receive Christ. And this is how you do it. All right.
ABCs of salvation. That's right there. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess with your mouth that you believe in him. You've got to put this in your own words. It's really easy. There's no set word to it. And you can do it whether or not you're a little bitty kid or you're on your last legs, like me.
Yep. And it speaks of contract language again. Because, first of all, if you're to be acquitted of anything, if you're going to get a pardon, you have to admit that you did it. Okay? I don't know if people know that. When Biden went out and his auto pen basically pardoned everybody in the world, even preemptively, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But to receive a pardon by law, you have to admit that you did the crime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or else, what am I pardoning?
right.
So you have to admit you're a sinner because that's the only way that Jesus can pardon you is if you actually admit it. Okay, here it is.
Looking
it's in the
contract.
Yes, I did that. Great.
Radio
okay. Now you believe on the contract that he has, his blood. Now this contract says that he paid for that. Do you accept that? Yes, I accept that. Okay, well now you have to confess that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you have to speak it out loud. I declare before the throne room of heaven that this is my new contract now, and I agree to what Jesus' blood did for me and paid that all off. So when you look at his contract language, it's actually very simple, and then you can understand, well, how could he do that? I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. It's all in the contract.
Right.
Okay? And it's clearly legal, and it's binding, and he doesn't go back on the written contract, and it's written in his own blood.
Right.
So that's just very, very powerful when you understand it that way. So, Lord willing, we will see you guys in the next show. In the meantime, accept that contract.
Visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide.
And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.